It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and by Minnesota Power, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. Tone Lanzillo walked from Philadelphia to D.C. to raise awareness of climate change and champion what he calls the Duluth Agreement. We talked with him back in April during his walk, and today we'd like to check in with him again and find out what he learned. Did it accomplish what he had hoped it would accomplish? And how are you feeling, Tone?
The legs are okay. I'm probably getting ready for another walk in the future.
Oh, already. Amazing. So talk a little bit about the walk. Did it accomplish what you wanted it to? I would imagine when you undertake something as big as this and profound as this, that there's going to be all kinds of different things by the time you get there that you said, I wanted to accomplish this, or I didn't realize this was important. But how do you think you did? How did it go?
Sure. Well, I think initially my intention or my thoughts were that I was going to just spend most of the walk talking to people and trying to encourage them to think about the environment, climate change, and to take some kind of actions. And what I found out within the first day is that I did not need to do so much talking as listening, because once someone asked me what I was doing with the backpack and I mentioned the walk, everybody had either thoughts, feelings, or opinions to share with me. So, yes, most of the walk I did a lot of listening, whether it was with waitresses, taxi drivers, motorcyclists, construction workers, but there was not one person that I did not encounter who didn't have a thought or feeling about the environment and climate change. And what I found was that everyone had an opinion. Most people felt overwhelmed, did not know where to start. Most people did not think that they individually could make any difference. And for probably a significant number, I had a few people actually tell me that they didn't want to think about the future. And some people who we would consider very highly educated felt there was no hope and had actually given up. They did not want to think about the next 30 to 50 years. So that was kind of sad. Yeah.
What of these conversations with these many, many different kinds of people from many, many different kinds of walks of life in many different contexts, was there one conversation or two conversations or a few that really stood out to you for one reason or another? Would you share a little bit about those?
Sure. Actually, I just wrote a piece about the walk, and so two stories that come to mind is my second day of my walk, I was still in southern Pennsylvania in a town called Springfield and decided I needed a haircut. My hair had gotten a little long in Duluth, and so I'm sitting with this woman, my hairdresser, a little bit older woman, and the moment she found out I didn't have a car and that I'd actually walked into town, she just started talking about the loss of butterflies and bees and birds due to insecticides in gardens and farms and neighborhoods. And I mean, this conversation went on for 15 minutes where I just listened. And she actually thanked me for listening, that she said she had a lot of pent-up feelings about the environment and didn't know who to talk to about it. And then when I got to Jacksonville, Florida, to visit family and to continue talking about the walk and the environment, a taxi driver picked me up, and on the way taking me to my next destination, he was talking about his father-in-law, who was warning him not to buy a house in Jacksonville, Florida. They had just moved from Denver because the family was concerned about rising water levels and therefore recommended to this man that he just keep renting and maybe would want to leave Jacksonville within the next 20 to 30 years. So these are the kind of conversations where everyone I spoke to, they were personalizing it. They were connecting the environment, climate change to their own lives and how it would affect their lives. Everything from where to live, maybe how many children to have. It was amazing. It was really amazing. And that's why I said that I decided to not talk, to not lecture anyone, and just to listen. Because I found a lot of these people had these thoughts and feelings, and they admitted a lot of them didn't know where they could share these thoughts and feelings, because these were these issues were things you don't discuss at the dinner table or at work, because they felt nobody else would listen or want to hear. And then the other thing I noticed in talking to everyone and during the walk is I actually felt there's a big disconnect between we as human beings and nature. And I guess I've known this for a while, but especially during the walk, it was quite clear that we're spending less time outside. More and more people are spending most of their time in their cars or in buildings. And then what also hit me is I think the pace of our culture has gotten faster. So as I wrote about in an article, I think there's a big disconnect between we as human beings and nature. And my feelings, if things are going to turn around, two things have to happen. We have to reconnect with nature. We have to spend more time in nature outside of our buildings and cars. And I really think we have to slow the pace of our lifestyle down. So those were two observations that came out of the walk.
I had heard a conversation just recently where the newscasters were saying that the blah, blah, blah variety of different circumstances had resulted in elected officials that were out of step philosophically and disconnected philosophically and in terms of lived experience with their constituents. It sounds like a lot of the people that you talked to were very much aware of climate change and the effects of pollution and some of these things, and they were very, very concerned about it. Do you feel that they felt that their elected officials were hearing them, listening to them, reflecting their concerns?
That's a good question. Actually, funny, those conversations didn't happen as much as people just staying and talking about their own personal lives. But when it did come up, I would have to agree. Probably most people who brought up government felt that governments either weren't listening or weren't interested, or elected officials especially were more concerned about getting reelected, staying in office, than they were maybe in longer-term issues like the environment. But I must say that a lot of people I talked to felt that the environment and climate change as issues or themes were becoming more important in conversations about politics. And that's kind of shown recently in some polls and articles about the national scene that I think I just read yesterday that two-fifths of voters in this country now consider climate change the top issue. I think there's more awareness and more appreciation of the need to address this.
I'm interested in your sense that these folks really needed, not just wanted, but really needed to talk about these issues, and yet they felt that there really wasn't a place for them to do that. And on the one hand, it seems like we need a place to do this because that's healthier for people than to keep this anxiety and this concern bottled up. But perhaps as an adjunct to that, in your opinion, what would be a good way that we could channel that energy, that concern, that anxiety into something productive moving forward to make a difference? And what would that perhaps look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because a number of psychologists, I've been reading some articles, are now talking about the grieving process that people are going through in regards to the environment and climate change. Yes, I do agree with you that for emotional and mental reasons, a lot of people need some kind of vehicle or process. And kind of the message I gave people along the way is I said, first of all, it's important to take this as a personal responsibility. So I share the fact in my own story that if you do get involved, it's very empowering. And I think when you do get involved and do something on either a personal or community level, it gives you a sense of hope also versus waiting for some other entity, whether it be a corporation or a government, to take action. The other thing is, I agree with you, I think there needs to be a process or place where people can talk about their personal lives or their stories. And in fact, one project that I think we're going to introduce next week, it's called Making It Personal. And what I hope to do with others is to collect the stories of people who have made changes in their life due to environmental crises or climate change, and become very proactive. like myself and others that I've met in Duluth, because I think if we can share those stories with others, it also could be a very empowering message that it may feel overwhelming, it may feel somewhat stressful and frustrating, but here are examples of people that have taken a challenging situation and transformed their lives in a very positive and productive way. Yeah.
How is that Making It Personal project going to work? Will the stories be collected online, in a book, written on a wall someplace, which would be kind of interesting, but how's that going to work?
I think all of the above. My first thought was, of course, to use social media and a book, but I think I hope to look at other avenues. I think this would be a great play, for example. I think it would be very empowering to maybe have a play where you have 8 to 9 actors or the real-life people sharing their stories with a live audience and a question and answer afterwards. Definitely a book. And I do think we'll share it by social media and traditional media. A friend of mine even suggested that to take the stories and create a documentary that could be used in local theaters. So I think we'll take advantage of any outlet to share these stories.
Tony, if folks are interested in your Making It Personal project, if they're listening now and they're going, I want to talk to this guy, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Thank you. We actually just, they could email me to start. And my email address is RISSONRISEN1954@gmail.com. If they send me an inquiry or a story, I'll definitely follow up with them and start an exchange and see how we can use their stories to share with others.
Fantastic. And we'll get a link up to your email so it'll be easy for folks to find you and get in touch. Tone, thanks again so very much for joining us. It was great to talk with you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Tone Lanzillo, our guest this morning on today's Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions in our community.